For us, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We are going through, we're starting today, a series on walking in the footsteps of Jesus. To follow Him means that we will walk in His footsteps. When you go through a field or you go through a forest, you may see a path that people have been that way before. Jesus has been the way of man before. He knows exactly what we go through in life. He knows exactly the challenges. And He wants and He has made a path for us to go through life. And we need to walk in His footsteps. The Bible says in Hebrews that we have a high priest that cannot be touched. He has been touched by our infirmities. He knows exactly where we are. And He wants to be your friend. So, this is starting a five-part series on walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Today, you have to start somewhere. You have to take the first step to walk in His footsteps. And we're looking at the call to follow Jesus. And we're looking at John chapter 1, verses 35 through 43. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 43, the call to follow Jesus. Matthew heard the call. The other disciples heard the call. People through centuries past have heard the call. Have you heard the call? Before we read our text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to see and hear Your word. Help its truth change us. Help us, Lord, to respond to what You're saying to us today. Help Your Holy Spirit to have full reign today. And help us not to be a hindrance, Lord, but a help. Lord, I pray that You bind Satan on our behalf. I pray that You take away all distractions. I pray that Your truth will come into our lives and change us. And that we will leave here more like You, walking in Your footsteps. We thank You, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He says there's someone that's coming who's the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoelaces, but he's coming. John had a pretty good following of people seeking God. There's people today seeking God. Seek ye while he may be found. Seek God while he may be found. If you're seeking God today, find him today.
Amen.
And in verse 36, it says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." See, when we hear the message, we're ready to see who God is. And when God presents himself, we will follow him. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and say unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?" If you're following in footsteps of Jesus, you want to be where he is, not going the other way. "He said unto him, Come and see." Jesus' life is an open invitation to us. His walk is an open invitation to us. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with them that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak, it's John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. When you find someone, something good, you want to tell others about it, especially your own family. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." A simple command, a call to follow. But if you want to start walking in the footsteps of Jesus, you need to follow that call. In way of introduction, there's basic things that we need to understand about heeding the call of God and starting to follow Him and starting to walk in His footsteps. The first thing is to hear the call of God. You must tune everything else out except His call. The world today creates a lot of noise.
Amen.
God speaks in a still small voice. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through a tug in your heart. He can show Himself in great glory, but He just wants us to follow Him. That means that we have to listen. And it's often hard to listen when there's so much distraction. My classroom, it gets loud at times. And I start talking very softly. And my lips are moving, but no one is hearing. And eventually they'll get the idea and they'll be quiet and they'll start listening. Do we just see Jesus' words moving, His lips moving, and not doing anything about it because we just can't hear? Are we listening? The call to follow must be heard. Secondly, the call to follow must be heeded. To heed the call of God, you must understand the purpose of the call. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different reasons for following God, but the real reason is we need to follow God because He said so. And that is the only way we can have a relationship with Him. That is the way that we glorify Him.
Amen.
Do you know what God's purpose is in your life? We're to be His image bearers. We're supposed to look like Him and act like Him and to walk in His footsteps. But you know, it's one thing to hear. It's one thing to understand. But true wisdom is to take your understanding and apply it in your life. And to follow the call, you must actively pursue it. We all need to make a decision that we're going to follow God. We need to make a decision that we're going to follow God in salvation. We need to make a decision that we're going to follow God in baptism. We need to make a decision that we're going to follow God in lifestyle. All of those are involved in the call to follow. This morning I want to share three things about this call. The call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. The word disciple means a follower or a disciplined one. To follow, you have to be disciplined about it. Last week we talked about new things. Behold, I do a new thing. Jesus calls us to leave behind our old life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And He said unto them," Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen. He says, "He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you hear the call and you heed the call and you follow the call, it's going to take you on a new direction.
Right.
Not your old way.
Right.
It's a new way. A way that you've never been on before. A way in the unknown. A way of faith. It should cause you to have a new desire. They gave up fishing for fish. And fishing for who God wants them to fish for men. Mm-hmm. You have to have a change in your desire and in your lifestyle to do the things that God wants you to do. God calls us to leave behind our old life. Last week, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Leave those behind. There's room at the cross for you. Jesus calls us to leave behind our old life. Jesus, following Jesus requires commitment and surrender. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says that he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him and follow me. There were a lot of people following Jesus. And there are several times that Christ says some hard things to them. One time he said to the crowd, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of the kingdom of heaven. You can't be a follower of me. And the crowd went, that doesn't make sense. He says, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And the Bible says that a lot of people in the crowd faded away. Because they didn't understand. To heed the call, you need to understand the purpose behind it. And what Christ is saying here is that there's got to be a difference that's required. You got to deny yourself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Christ is a 24/7 rest of your life commitment. It's not just for Sunday mornings. It's for every day and every moment of your life. It's a total commitment to Him. He's either Lord of all or He's not. There's a difference that's required. It's not about you, it's about God. And there's a dedication required. In Luke chapter 5, there's a story of this miraculous catch of fish. Here's the interesting thing about the disciples. If you go through and you study the disciples, that they didn't, the first call, they didn't immediately go. They kind of went, saw what Jesus was doing, and then they went to their homes, and they went back to their business. And later on, Jesus comes back again, and they're out fishing again. The same people he's called before. And they were fishermen. They were expert fishermen. And they've been fishing all night. And, you know, fishermen don't like to say what they can't do. They like to report the big fish. They've been fishing all night and they caught nothing. And Jesus comes on the shore and he's standing on the shore. He says, have you caught anything? No. No. And Jesus in the previous verses says, cast your net on the other side. How do you know how to fish? We're the experts here. Well, if you were the experts, why can't you be successful? Okay? A lot of us try to be successful for God, but not without knowing God. And they said, well, okay, fine. So they put out the fish, and you know what? They put out the nets, and what happened? Fish started going into the nets, and it was so many that it broke the net. And in verses 10 through 11 here, it says, so they called the ships together to try to bring in the fish. And so it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The message doesn't change.
Amen. Amen.
Following in Jesus' footsteps, the path doesn't change. The goal doesn't change. The mission doesn't change. And when they had brought their ship to land, they what? They forsook all and followed him. You know, there was an immediate benefit. After a couple of days, it didn't smell like fish anymore. They were probably approachable to other people. But what did they do? Wait a second. We just caught this fish. Hey, let's keep Jesus around so we get all these fish. No. God will supply your need, not what your wants are. And what we need to do is we need to do what God wants us to do, which is fish men. And they what? They forsook all. Jesus calls us to leave behind our old life. And Jesus, following Jesus requires commitment, surrender, which is a difference. And a dedication is required. And following Jesus involves learning from him. My students in school still learn it, but all they have to do is hear it, and instantly they become experts. Without practice, without trying. No, God gives you a blank sheet of paper. He wants you to fill it up with what he tells you to do. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's a binding commitment. You know what the sheep need to know? Who the shepherd is. Because the shepherd's going to take them to the right spot at the right time and keep them perfected.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke," which is a binding commitment upon you, and what? Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. In Psalm 23, it says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul." It's a binding commitment. It's a believing commitment. There should be a different direction. There should be a new desire. There's a difference that's required. There's a dedication that's required. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul lists things that Christians should not do, and Ephesus was a place of hedonism, just like we live in a place of hedonism today. And he talks about all the things that Christians should not do. And you know something? There's a lot of people call themselves Christians doing a lot of things that God's Word says not to do.
Amen.
But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he says this, "But ye have not so learned Christ." It's time to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing and be separate. But here's the kicker. Verse 21 says, "If so be that ye have what? Heard him. And have been taught by him." You heed it. You understand the purpose. As the truth is in Jesus. The call to discipleship is the call to follow Jesus. I would suggest that you come to our discipleship class on every other Sunday, 4:30. And you'll learn about the faith and the beliefs that we have. And the doctrines that we have. And the purpose that we have. We should be on a new direction. A new path. A new thing. With a new desire. Not only is there a call to discipleship, there's the cost of discipleship. Following Jesus requires self-denial. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You have to pursue the footsteps of Jesus. You have to pursue this thing. Following Jesus is an instructive command here. Okay? Earlier it says, deny, take up his cross daily. And it says, whosoever bear his cross. It's a constant state of doing this. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul said this. He says, "I die daily," in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. It's a constant state. We're constantly moving forward. We're trying to find His footsteps and walk in them. And it's a conquering state. You know, why follow a path if it doesn't take you anywhere? Why have a trial in your life if you don't have an opportunity to succeed? Why run a race if you're not trying to win? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 talks about Christ and His cross. The cross was an instrument of death. And the Romans made you carry your cross member to that place, or the whole cross to that place. But in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for all what? The joy, the end state, the end of the path, the purpose of it, that was set before Him, endured the cross. See, our verse says, and whosoever does not bear or endure his cross. Endure the cross, despising the shame. Well, there's things that are going to happen. It's going to be hard. Paul tells Timothy that we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. But he said, endure the cross, despise the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, completing God's plan for mankind, completing the purpose, which was the plan of salvation. It's an instructive command. And if you're followers of Jesus, you have a cross to bear. And it's an individual command. You know, today, we want somebody else to do it. Now, you don't even have to go to the grocery store. You get online, you just type in your grocery list, and all of a sudden a red truck shows up with your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're taking the fun out of shopping. Come on. Well, it's easy. It makes my life easy. Yeah, so you can do more stuff that's worthless. That's some of the benefit of life is just going through the trials of life. It's an individual way. Other people say, well, just throw money at it. That's what our government does. I'll pay you to do my yard. I'll pay you to walk my dog. I'll pay you to scoop up the poop in my yard from the dog. Okay? These are all things that we need to do ourselves. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 says this. For every man shall bear what? His own burden. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says this. He says, whosoever does not bear a cross, The cross, His cross. We each have an individual burden to bear for Christ. And we need to do what God wants us to do. It's an instructive command. It's an individual command because God wants us to deny ourselves. Discipleship involves choosing Jesus over everything else. And in order to illustrate this, Christ gives this verse that a lot of people say, oh, that's bad news. But He wants to understand the concept of what it takes to be a disciple of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, He says this, he that loveth father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. What? Nothing can get in the way of your service to Christ. Nothing can get in the way of your call to Christ. You have to listen above everything else and tune out everything else and listen to God. If you're listening to God, your family will be right. It's a challenge. There's a challenge involved. In Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, it says, then Jesus, beholding Him, loved Him. He loves everybody. This is the story of the rich young ruler. This man comes to Jesus and he says, "What good thing, Master, shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "Keep the commandments." He says, "I've done that all from my youth up." "Well, I'm not." He just lied. "Because for all I've sinned to come short of the glory of God." But he's rich. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He understands your concerns. He understands your doubts. He understands your fears. He still loves you. And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the what? Cross. Follow me." Same command. And he was sad at that saying, and went away. "Is there any other way, Lord?" "No! There's no other way." It's a call to discipleship. It's a call that we have to heed. It takes a personal cost. Giving ourselves up and following him. He was sad at that saying and went away what? Grieved. Not saved. What did the prophet man who gained the whole world and lose his own soul? God will meet your needs.
Amen.
He's not going to meet your wealth. He's not going to make you wealthy necessarily. Went away grief, for he had great possessions. This man's possessions got in the way of choosing Jesus. What is getting in the way in your life of choosing Jesus over what you're doing now? Discipleship involves Jesus choosing Jesus over everything else. There is a reward for following Jesus. That reward is eternal life. In Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, it says that Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there has no man have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospels, but that he shall receive a what? A hundredfold. Now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land. Look at your family here. Every Sunday morning is a family reunion.
Amen.
And lands with persecutions. It's a trial. And you can't outsource that. It's your cross to bear. And in the world to come, eternal life. We have to come to a conclusion that Christ is worth it all.
Amen.
That's the conclusion. He's worth. Christ is all I need. There's a song that goes up. And there's a comparison. Think of your life before Christ and think of your life after Christ. There should be a significant difference.
Amen.
Should be a new direction. Should be a new desire. So we see the cost, the call of discipleship. We see the cost of discipleship. And lastly, the power of following Jesus. God's not going to ask you to do something unless he gives you the power to do it. That's called his grace. That's called his grace. Following Jesus leads to a transformation that needs to be recognized. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. We're supposed to please him. We are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto doing good works. It needs to be recognized, and we need to be reminded about it. And Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Dude, you're Christians. Look at what you're doing. You're messed up. You need to come to him. You need to repent. You need to get right. You need to have a revival in your life." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "And some were sent to you." But you need to be reminded that you're washed. You need to be reminded that you're sanctified and set apart. You need to be reminded that you're justified not by your works, but by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, folks, we need to be transformed. Jesus empowers us to do His will. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we know this passage. But it says, all power, He said, that Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We go in His power. We witness in His power. We baptize in His power. We teach in His power. Teaching them to observe. We observe all things in His power. Because without God, you're nothing. You can do nothing.
Amen.
All things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus empowers us to do His will. And by following Jesus, we will receive eternal rewards. It's an act of following. It's an act of following. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we talked about this Wednesday night, that this command was given to bond servants. Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about believing and unbelieving masters. But basically it says here, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it how?
Heartily.
You can't be a half-hearted Christian. As to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow in the footsteps of Jesus is to do what Jesus did. And the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. It's an aware following. In 2 John chapter, in 2 John verse 8, the Bible says this. It says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a what?
Full reward.
Folks, to walk in Christ's steps, you have to start. It's the call to follow. It's the call to be His disciple. It's the call to be a follower of Him. It's the call that will cost. It will cost us ourselves and what we want to do and put God in front of that. But God gives us the power to do it. Are we walking in Jesus' footsteps this morning or your own? That's the question. Maybe you never even started the journey. Maybe you don't know Him as your Savior. Today I got great news. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins.
Amen.
To allow you to have forgiveness, which you can't get on your own. He was buried on the third day. He rose from the dead, basically showing that He has power over sin and power over death.
That's right.
He sits on the right hand of God, offering forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
And offering eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Have you received Him as your Savior? If not, don't leave here today without having that settled. For us, whose footsteps are you walking in? The ones you're making or the one that God's made for you? The issue is we need to follow His footsteps, and that's to be His disciple. Let's follow Him with a pure heart, with our whole heart, with all our lives. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts. And Father, just see what we need to do for you today. Lord, you've done it all for us. We just need to receive your gifts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.